Common Sense Radio is on the air. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, welcome back to it. It's a Friday. We're having good fun with it, too. A lot of fun day. Today's the deadline, by the way, for the inquiry. And there's supposed to be a finding today from the U.S. government on the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. And it looks like, nothing's going to happen. And, of course, I'm watching on CNN as they're going bananas because the Trump administration may not make this deadline. William Ogborn here, strategic communication, public diplomacy expert with a high track record of both as a director and strategist for U.S. government entities. William, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You've helped the U.S. House of Representatives. You've worked with the Department of Commerce, the DOD, and a bunch of folks. What is this report? Help us understand, what is the report supposed to be? What is it supposed to clear up? And what does not making the deadline mean?
Well, in terms of what Congress is looking for, I don't think they're going to get it. They're wanting basically MBS, that's the Crown Prince, to the blame for the Khashoggi assassination to be laid at his feet. The Saudis have done everything they can to protect him. He's actually now stronger inside the royal family than he was before the Khashoggi murder, because it's been a kind of rally around the flag situation. So they found their scapegoats, and that's what they're going to go with. And the administration is going to be basically supportive of that because he's our man in Riyadh.
So, I mean, this is a difficult position for the United States, and it wouldn't matter who was in the White House, whether it was Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Donald Trump. The fact of the matter is, we have very close ties to Saudi Arabia, whether you like it or not. And those ties were not severed after 9/11, even though 15 of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia, even though Saudi Arabia, as we know, finances different organizations around the world that we would label as terrorists. That's correct, right?
That is correct. But like you said, you know, we have been close with them actually for going on, you know, 60, 70 years. We helped build that country. And although you're absolutely right that most of the hijackers were Saudis, we've done everything we can to keep nudging them and protecting them because of the oil and because of our ability to kind of control how much oil they pump out. Plus, the Crown Prince has been one of those that actually held some of those 9/11 supporters responsible.
Sure.
And, you know, either arrested them or had them sent away. So he's been doing things that have moved the needle in the direction that the U.S. wants. So it's very difficult for us to say, get rid of this guy, when he's doing the things that we would ask anyone of and what the previous Saudi crown princes had not been willing to do.
Well, and let's be honest. There's a couple of other things in play here. First of all, there's a lot of money in play because we just made a deal with the Saudis for tens of billions of dollars to sell military equipment to the Saudis over the next many years. And so that means a lot to people here in the United States working and the jobs and so forth. We also don't want Saudi Arabia to become an Islamic republic like Iran. And most importantly, speaking of Iran, Saudi Arabia hates Iran. And so for us, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And not only are they fighting against Iran, but they're also working very closely with Israel now. And that's one of the things that the administration has worked very hard to do. And it's been very successful. So here you have now a nice working relationship with Saudi and Israel, which is something you thought would never happen 20 years ago.
Certainly.
And like you said, with the weapons deal, not only that, but we have to keep in consideration that the Russians have offered them not just weapons, but manufacturing plants within Saudi Arabia if they would switch their alliances. And so we have to be guarding against that, of having somebody like Saudi Arabia suddenly switching sides and going with the Russians for what they're offering, the same way we've seen Turkey slip into the Russian sphere over the past several years.
Yeah, I think that was more of their doing than ours, as far as what's going on in Turkey, because they're becoming more radicalized as far as their approach to government, as you well know. And the Saudis have a horrendous human rights record. I mean, they execute people in public still, if I'm not mistaken, and you know, things that we don't embrace. But what are you going to do? Again, it's a very complicated relationship, and the talking heads, the jabbering politicos on CNN and so forth, they don't understand the complexities. And besides, they need something to complain about this president for on a daily basis, and that helps fuel that fire as well. Let me ask you this. You worked as a campaign advisor to people like Dr. Ben Carson, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, and others, so you have a long history of working with campaigns, correct?
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you about the State of the Union. It's been a couple of days, but that, to me, was a pivotal moment in this presidency. Could change the trajectory going towards 2020 for Donald Trump. What was your first blush reaction to what you saw and what you heard?
I thought overall it was very positive. You know, he's done very well in those kind of State of the Union and the first address to both Congress and Senate. So in those situations, he's always known how to put together a message that is one more of unity and not just, you know, oh, it's only on this side and we're only going to talk about these partisan issues. And we've seen afterwards each time that the American public actually likes what he's had to say. Now, as we're seeing the Democrats run further over to the left, the new Green Deal, that was just an absolute joke yesterday. I don't know if you've talked about it yet.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about it at length today.
Yeah.
The Green New Deal. Let me see here. I've got the whole text here. Let's see. It gives jobs to those that want it and money to those that don't want a job. Health care is free. Housing is free. You get free vacations, free retirement. Make sure your water and air is clean, and you get access to nature, whatever the hell that means. And it's all there. Plus, we get high-speed rail, no more planes. I hope Boeing didn't make too many of those Dreamliners and 787s because they won't need those anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really great because she hates all the billionaires, but she's wanting them to pay for it, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I said,
you know,
this morning...
Again, going back to his speech, I think it really sets up the contrast now going into the next election, the 2020. This is what Trump and the administration and the Republicans are going to try and work towards, and now you have a very harsh contrast with what the Democrats are trying to do, and they're willing to let Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez say as much as she wants, because they know she has a very hardcore sector of believers. But the general public realizes this is crazy. And with Nancy Pelosi not able to get her under control, that just makes the administration, the Republicans, look even better.
Is she the greatest gift to Republicans ever or what?
She is in some ways. And I actually am one of those people that thinks that she's very savvy at the game. And that's a lot to do with her boyfriend, who was a former Obama speechwriter and such. And she does hold sometimes the Democrats' feet to their own fire of pointing out their hypocrisies, which helps us as well. But then she'll come out with some of these crazy things like, what was it, $42 trillion or something like that that's because you never had.
You just do it. It's modern monetary policy. You just print money, and they really believe this. You just print money and pay for it. Inflation be damned.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a never-ending source. Like you said, you just print it, and it's suddenly there, and don't have to worry about anybody losing faith in it, because if we really start to think about how much that piece of paper is worth, then, you know, that's not good for society, to be honest.
You got it. William, a great conversation, a great addition to have you here. I really appreciate it because of your insight and your experience. And I look forward to talking to you again in the future. But I'll give you a quick last word.
Oh, sure. In terms of what's going to happen with Khashoggi, I don't think you're going to see much happen. You're going to see a lot of blustering today that the deadline's been missed, but they're going to go with, we've been given these people, as they say that they're the ones that have been responsible for it, and they're not going to do anything to really imperil relations with Saudi Arabia.
There you go. William Ogborn, greatly appreciate you being here. Have a terrific weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
There you have it. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Some final thoughts and opening up the hotline, 888-900-9966 to all comers, right after the break.
You've seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra bucks is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behaviour. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Calling all Bridge Card holders. Did you know you can now use your Bridge Card at many Michigan farmers markets? It's smart to buy locally grown produce because as time passes, fruits and vegetables lose some of their nutritional value. The quicker it can get from the farmer's field to your dinner table, the better. It's also more affordable to buy produce in season. The freshest, healthiest produce is available now at your local farmers market. And many Michigan farmers markets now accept Bridge Cards, making it easier for more families to make the healthy choice. Learn more at MIFMA.org. This message sponsored by the Michigan Farmers Market Association and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.